Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Happy Monday, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Very good. Did you have a good 4th of July?
Yes, I made a lot of vitamin D out by the pool.
That's it. I was impressed with Sardi's report the other day, how quickly vitamin D builds up in your system. Yeah. And I'm a doctor, you know. And I didn't know it was so rapid.
Yeah.
I knew the values of vitamin D, but it is very, very rapid. And that's why.
Good.
And I happen to have been converted very strongly, although I always believed in the vitamin D's and vitamin C's. But I think getting dosages right is the important thing. That's why I think Sardi is a good writer, Bill
yeah.
Sardi. If anybody wants to keep up with what's going on with the coronavirus, you know, coronavirus. But anyway, today I want to follow up because we've talked about this so often. That is statistics.
Yeah.
You know, how many cases are there? How many deaths are there? And we've mentioned so many times that they're concentrating on the wrong number. And it's a matter of they taking good news, twisting around and saying it's bad news, because with the tremendous increase in testing, all of a sudden they found more people who came up positive, but they weren't sick. And the number of people really sick and going to the hospital, people dying from it, is actually down. They're even thinking that maybe the CDC might think we don't even have an epidemic. What are they going to do? You know, in the meantime, what they do is they change the rules and that the definition so that they have more people that they can sign up that has the virus. And of course, we mentioned it early on that the way they were measuring the deaths, all you had to do is measure positive and you die from getting in a car accident, you might still be registered as a coronavirus death. So right now, they have talked about changing the definition, make it very open and easy to list somebody as having the infection.
Yeah.
But that means they came up positive, but it might not even be that much. They might have just had symptoms, and people generously are told. And there's money behind that because hospitals can get reimbursed a certain way. You subsidize symptoms, so you get a lot more of it. But I think the evidence is coming out now, which we've been talking about, is the number of people dying from this going down, and it's following a pretty normal curve for an infectious disease, and this should be good news, and I just hope it continues. But I fear what the government does is they find another culprit to blame, and they certainly have been finding quite a few related to coronavirus. So right now, though, they're back at it again. They're changing some definitions.
Yeah, and you wrote about this in your column today, which is on the Ron Paul Institute website. I think it's worth going back over the timeline. Because what you pointed out, and we actually even talked about it last week, is back in mid-May, they changed the definitions of what constitutes a coronavirus case. Used to be you had to have a positive test. This is in Texas. Positive test result. Then they changed it mid-May to say you could meet certain criteria. If you have a headache and a sore throat, you can be probable COVID and be classified as COVID. And then also the people around you, up to 15 people, family members, neighbors, they're also probable COVID automatically, as you pointed out. And so with that, obviously, and plus that, and also spiking the tests, the tests in Texas are going through the roof. So you combine those two things, and what happens, you get a spike of quote-unquote cases because you're adding what it means to be a case. And when people go into the hospital for get their hip replaced, they test them for COVID and they become a COVID hospitalization, even though they didn't go there for COVID. So all this happens, and then the Governor Abbott moves, and he moved on July 2nd after saying, I have no authority to mandate face masks. Just a few weeks ago, he did just that. He mandated face masks on the 2nd. And of course, that didn't satisfy the Lena Hidalgos of the world, the Harris County judge. She said, that's not enough. You got it locked down again. You know, so that's what's happening in Texas. By the way, Governor Abbott's, and I wrote about this on the Ron Paul Institute website too, Governor Abbott's mandating of face masks is not what it seems, because here is the part of it, Dr. Paul, where he talks about what you have to do. Every person in Texas shall wear a face covering over the nose and mouth when inside a commercial entity or other building or space open to the public, or when in an outdoor public space, and here's the key phrase, whenever it is not feasible to maintain 6 feet of social distancing. So even though the media sold it as Abbott mandates face masks, he didn't. Even though what he did is bad, he kind of weaseled on his words because he's basically saying if you go somewhere you can't social distance, you need to put a face mask on, but that's not how it's being sold.
Yeah, but that's the way it's been accepted, too.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
being sold, and then the propagandists get going, and they're not on our side, so they use that. And all lo and behold, people become very, very obedient because they throw in a bit of fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of, I think it's, you know, proper to say some of this is outright lying. It's deceitful, and it's not telling us the truth, and they have it there. If they aren't fibbing and lying, then they're really stupid, and there may be a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
But they do this, but the general public, if you test the public believes the government most of the time lies to it.
Yeah, they're smart.
And yet, all of a sudden, anything like this, and I mentioned already the fear issue,
yeah.
they stir up the fear, and people are just rolling over and doing it. And to me, the great symbolism of capitulating to the government, because I don't believe they've been helpful, is the face mask and social distancing.
Yeah,
they've never proven anything on it. It has nothing to do with science. They haven't proved it on science, and they haven't been able to defend it legally. They haven't been able to defend it on civil liberties or the Constitution, and yet there's this hysteria, and I think it's part of the fact that, in spite of their questioning government, they also have ingrained the safety net. Everybody has a safety net. Big business has it.
Mm-hmm.
People get sick have it. Everybody's out of work has it. Everybody who needs something has it, and it's ripe for socialism, and it's ripe even for the radical Marxists to come out. So there is a mixed bag there, but it's a shame that when people tell outright lies, we wouldn't get more supporters. But they're getting awfully, awfully aggressive when you see, the militant black movement separating themselves. They think Black Lives Matter is not radical enough.
Yeah.
And they're separating, and they are really, really aggressive, and they're very racist. And you'd think people say, well, maybe we should question more of this. Maybe we should look at the facts. Hopefully, we're able to provide some of those facts that they might be looking for.
Some counterfacts. You know, the thing, I was in Houston yesterday, I drove through Houston yesterday, and I don't often do that anymore because it's more like a lockdown city. But I tell you, Dr. Paul, and you mentioned this too, the signs are everywhere. Get tested. Free test. Get tested. 15 minutes. Get tested. The other sign, there are two kinds of signs. There's those. And then there's the ones of the mayor of the city and other city officials with the thing over their head. Wear your face mask. Put on your face mask. Mask up. And it's always the implication is if you care about other people, you'll put on a face mask. So if you refuse, if you're one of those bad people who refuse it, you just hate people, you know, is the idea. But the thing about Houston, the thing about the U.S. is what happened to deaths. That's how you opened up. And let's go to the first graphic because this points out very well what's happening, and this is the thing they don't want to talk about. The graph going straight up is the number of tests and the number of positive cases, confirmed cases, and the line going down is the number of deaths. The deaths continue to increase. In fact, I think you pointed out there are 90% less deaths. Deaths have reduced by 90% since the peak back in April. And let's look at the next graphic. These are fresh from today. This next one is This is the second wave, Dr. Paul. Look at the daily deaths in the U.S. In fact, both Saturday and Sunday were way down. And what we will expect is probably today you'll see an increase in reporting, and so you see a small spike. But each one of those Monday spikes is getting less and less in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Let's even go to Texas, where Governor Abbott panicked. And so there was an increase around June 30th in daily deaths, and I suspect that's because, as the Houston doctor said, people are going in much sicker because they didn't go in when they had their heart attack and stroke. They would go in and get a COVID diagnosis even though they weren't in for COVID and they ended up dying. But even that so-called spike around the 30th, we're seeing about 5 or 6 days of continual decline in deaths in Texas. So it's pretty obvious what's happening and what's not happening.
You know, if this second wave fizzles on them and they have to admit it, then what they'll do is they'll ignore it. they'll start talking about the third wave.
Yeah, the fourth wave.
or a new virus, and they're all, they've admitted that. They have to be planning for the next one, and they're establishing the principles here. But, you know, the other job that the people have that I think is difficult is we talk about coronavirus and the overreaction to coronavirus. But, you know, from their viewpoint, it gets more complicated because there's the coronavirus and then it's the illness and the medical part of it. And then it's the political and anti-civil libertarian approach to the attack and the lockdowns.
Yeah.
And that then gets mixed in with something I think is maybe the biggest part of it all, and that's the economic collapse, which right now it's absolutely amazing that the mere creation of trillions and trillions of dollars, it seems to soothe the markets, at least it's temporary. You know, the markets stay up. There's so much negative news out there. There has to be a correction. And if you look at the debt and all this activity that we're doing, you know, another record amount of money they're sending to the people. No matter what is necessary, they're going to send the money. And yet, I think the main thing they've done is prop up the stock market. But there's a bit of lost confidence in what's happening there. So you have the virus, the reaction to the virus, you have the economic conditions, and then you have the fear mongers, and then you look at the media, and it's incessant, it's constant, and that gets the person mixed up because, you know, if they 2 months ago or 3 months ago were asked about, well, do you believe everything the government tells you? Oh, no, you know, they lied to us about foreign policy, about wars and assassinations and all these things, and yet right now they believe everything that is told, and it's a pretty blatant lying is what they're doing, or misinformation, and the purpose of it is to scare people so that they blindly accept all this and they roll over. And to me, the symbol of acceptance, and I've said it before too often maybe, is the mask.
Yeah.
And the social distancing and arresting people, sitting on a beach by themselves, all the crazy nonsense that went on. And then now there are some pretty good stories out there now, and people ought to look for them. People who have scientifically challenged the insanity of the face mask.
Yeah.
That is probably much worse. It impinge on the ability for people to breathe.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that gets in the mask that shouldn't be there, and yet people do it because it's your badge. It's sort of like your papers. And I think they're thinking pragmatically, which is sort of what people have to do. I sort of have to be the pragmatist when I go through, the airport.
Yeah.
So they say, no, I don't believe all this stuff, but I gotta go to the store. I gotta buy some food, you know. Yeah. And then they do this. But your passport now, right now, is the face mask and also the willingness to do silly things about, you know, standing apart. And as soon as people are given a little bit of leeway, they don't even obey the law.
Yeah.
They just go and talk to their friends again.
How dare they?
And they get close to people, and they actually touch other people.
Yeah.
They've really overstepped their bounds. It'll be a shame if they can win this and make the human being such an antisocial person. But right now, they have a ways to go. But in the meantime, they're going to annoy the living daylights out of a lot of us.
You know, our good friend Bob Wenzel had a piece up. We talked about it before the show. Basically, he said, wearing that mask and breathing all that stuff you're supposed to get rid of is like drinking your own urine. So that doesn't sound too
byproducts.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too appealing. But, you know, the fact is people naturally keep a social distance from each other. Certain cultures are closer than others, but people naturally don't cough on each other or sneeze on each other. You know, once we're past the age of being a toddler, you're taught as a kid, you know, you cover your mouth, move away. So this whole idea of reinforcing something that people already know. But the mask you're right, it is like a Soviet internal passport, because you can't do business, you can't buy your food, you can't do anything unless you put that mask on, at least down here in Brazoria County and actually throughout Texas now. And it really is sad. But in the meanwhile, let's return back to the world of reality. Here's what the CDC says. Let's look at the next slide if we can.
That's good.
Texas is going down to lockdown, but look, the CDC is saying, it's close to losing its epidemic status because there are so few deaths from coronavirus, from COVID, you know. And this is a report about it, but let's do the next slide. And this is from the CDC website. I just visited it this morning. He said, based on death certificate data, the percentage of deaths attributed to pneumonia, influenza, COVID-19 decreased from 9.0 during week 25 to 5.9 during week 26. This percentage is currently at the epidemic threshold. So that means it's declining and it's at the epidemic threshold. But never fear, Dr. Paul, that great employee, that great consultant, that great board member of all the big pharma companies, he was on TV today to say, don't listen to the CDC. They're a bunch of nuts. He actually used to run it, but here he is. Here's our good old friend, Scott Gottlieb. We're now in the second wave. Oh, no, he's the FDA commissioner. Sorry, but yeah, so the CDC says, gosh, it's not even an epidemic anymore. And poor old Scott Gottlieb, he's just dying to get that vaccine out so he can make a bunch more money. It's the second wave, says the doctor.
And it is sad because of the, the gullibility of so many people. They're anxiously waiting for it, you know. And this whole thing that you already described, the automobiles lining up for miles and miles and miles to get this free test.
Yeah, free.
You know, if people ask me, I say, if you're not sick, don't bother, you know, with a test. What's it going to do? You know, use common sense,
yeah.
You know. And that's the big thing. But, you know, even the treatment is pretty much common sense, too. And I think back so often to how communicable diseases were treated 30, 40, 50 years ago. And they came and people were treated, sometimes deliberately, and get immunity. And we know more now about the prevention, you know, how zinc is beneficial and vitamin D, vitamin C, and a little bit of, good common sense dealing with people. But no, that's not enough. We have to have the people who are all wise and to tell you. And it's more important for them to have their stature than it is for us to have our liberty. You know, civil liberties is way down on the list. I don't think it ever comes up, you know, when there's a discussion going on. Have you ever thought about this? And there was some interview, I think Tucker may have had somebody on, a governor, and he said, no, we never
Yeah, the
about
governor
that.
Of New Jersey,
yeah.
I never thought about that.
Oh, you mean that's involved.
Yeah.
But at least he was honest, and that's the way it was in Washington. If I tried to pin somebody down in a quiet conversation, and I'd press them a little bit like that, and he says, you know, I think you might be right, but I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
I don't think people care about that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of an actual wise person, let's look at the next clip, Dr. Paul, because I found this tweet this morning. Our good friend Thomas Massey, words of wisdom from the congressman from Kentucky. A lot of people keep forgetting that flatten the curve was about slowing the spread of COVID, not stopping the spread, and not reducing the number of people who eventually get infected. It was about avoiding overwhelming medical resources until herd immunity is reached. Thank you, Representative Massey, because they completely changed that too.
Yeah, and people have a short memories there, and that's why I guess they can go back and forth from thinking the government is untrustworthy to just bowing over and doing whatever they say. But I still think that the information is out there. Anybody, and I'll bet you our viewers generally know what's going on, and they'll look, or if they want to challenge us, they can find it.
Yeah.
It's out there, and I think there's some fantastic studies on this. It's just, everybody has to help spread the message. Everybody's capable of spreading the message. And, of course, my rules on that is it never can be done by arguing with people.
Yeah.
I've learned that a long time, arguing about it, especially if somebody is tied up in emotion. But I think the facts and figures are there, and people will eventually see the statistics and the facts are in our direction. I think they're going to come around to saying, hey, look, these people went, 20,000 people showed up at the beach. We haven't heard of anybody dying yet, you know, from going to the beach. And if you add up, how much vitamin D did they get? And I think it's interesting to know that 30 minutes in the sun a day is beneficial. Your vitamin D machinery is working pretty fast. And we have a lot of sunshine lately, so we've been okay.
Yeah, we've been okay. And what no one will talk about, and I was just reading a tragic article before the show, Dr. Paul, in Albuquerque, 11-year-old boy, he had to stay home because of the COVID. Couldn't go to the store with his parents, couldn't do anything. Sadly enough, he committed suicide. 11-year-old boy, I was just reading about it just now, and it's heartbreaking. And this is happening a lot more, thousands of times more. But nobody wants to talk about that. They just want to talk about how selfish we are because we don't put a mask on, you know. But I've been wanting to put this next graphic up for a while because I absolutely love the title so much. I finally had the chance to put it up today, Dr. Paul, and I put it up by way of contrast. So let's put up the next clip. This is from June 25th, Santa Cruz, California, you know, California, the left coast. Santa Cruz County lifts beach closures. Quote, people are not willing to be governed. So they just threw up their hands and said, you know what? We got to open the beaches because just people will not listen to us. And I just love that headline. I love that whole thing. I love that idea. Sadly enough, as I was driving home from Houston today, all the way down on the 288, I saw a sign saying, you know, go back. Brazoria beaches are closed. And in fact, let's contrast Santa Cruz of all places, the left coast. And look at this, it's sad. Southeast Texas beaches closed for 4th of July weekend. Going to the beach is a holiday tradition for many Texans. But for many places, this 4th of July, that won't be an option. So I wish we would stop, be willing to be governed. So anyway, I'm going to close on a scary point, Dr. Paul. And someone sent me this next clip this morning, and I wanted to put it out there. This was posted on a playground near this person's home. This captures how crazy and insane the propaganda is. Let's look at this final one. Look at this, Dr. Ball. Does this look like something out of, I don't know what? It says, wear the mask. I'm wearing it for you. Are you wearing it for me? We are strong together. And it looks like a Soviet or a Nazi style, very intimidating. And this is what's gripping the country. This was actually posted on a playground. Very, very sick and very sad. But I'll just finally say, again, thank you to our super chatters. Thank you to all of our viewers. Today is Monday, so we do have a list of thanking our super chatters from the last week who helped keep the show alive. If you can do it, if you can support us, we certainly appreciate it. But we'll roll those names and thank you publicly in just a couple of minutes when the show is done. Dr. Paul?
Very good. And I'm going to re-mention something I just said a little while ago, what is on the people's mind and what they're trying to digest. Of course, it's the virus is one big thing, the reaction to the virus and the overreaction to the virus and the lockdowns. Then also the basic weakness in the economy, which I think is very, very major. And you put it all together and the people should have concerns, but they shouldn't be as scared as ours. They shouldn't react to their fear. They should react to looking at this and knowing that there can be answers for this, because most of our problems that I see are pretty much man-made, you know, what's happening now. You say, oh, no, the virus is not man-made. Well, maybe the reaction to the virus is and the extremism, I think that could be blamed on our authorities overreacting. But I want to mention one other thing, that I do this with caution because somebody might think that I'm biased for or against certain individuals. But there is no doubt in my mind that so much of what's going on today is anti-Trumpism. And if they can pin the virus on Trump or whatever, they will and they can. That doesn't mean that Trump doesn't set himself out for this, because unfortunately I think he does. But I'll tell you what, he is able to get the major medias on his side, and I think that is a motivation of so much of the propaganda, the lying, because politicians, you know, will lie and they'll fib, you know that. And scientists, they're not supposed to fib and lie for political reasons, but that's another problem we have. We have the scientists and individuals who are supposed to be helping us sort out the good from the bad, they're also participating. And that's one of the reasons why I think we should have as much separation of medicine and the state as possible. I don't think the politicians I knew in Washington were very good doctors when they got into Congress. That is not the role of a government, is to play doctor and tell us what kind of medicine is best and get involved in the corporate medicine system that exists today, and then get involved in providing benefits to the special interests, especially in the drug industry. So there's a lot we can do, but ultimately I think the people are waking up. There's good reports, and more will when it becomes evidence. When this this epidemic is officially over, which we sort of grabbed that attention about a week or so ago. This looks like it's done, but they'll find something else, and that's what we have to be alert to. We'd be alert to what they're going to do, and they're willing to say and do anything they want. And I think that we can survive this, because if we're telling the truth, I believe we'll come out on top. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and supporting us, and please come back to the Liberty Report soon.